This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Well,
who is that?
If I'm not mistaken, did you say win the Eastern Conference?
I said win the Eastern Conference, yeah.
What do you say?
Well, first off, I don't know why it's so hard for me to get this through to so many lugheads that I work with. Yeah, I'm not going out on a limb. Though I wasn't trying to say I was going out on a limb. It was never about going out on a limb. I was driving home a point. The mindset of the Cavaliers with the whole, let's go ahead and tank this game to Charlotte so we can avoid big bad Philadelphia who never wins in the playoffs. That's a loser mentality. And when you have that loser mentality, you're not going to win a conference championship or a championship. So to drive that point home, to back the words up, I wanted you to know that if they somehow prove me wrong, I'll go ahead and I'll put my money where my mouth is. I'll get a tattoo on my left butt cheek of the logo. It's not sitting here saying anything bold in terms of, you know, what they're going to accomplish as if the world thinks the Cavs are going to win the conference. I'm just trying to back up the talk that that loser mentality isn't going to put them anywhere. Wasn't meant to go out on a limb. Who the hell thinks that's going out on a limb? The fact that so many people think so low of me, that like that would be my big proclamation going out on a limb that Cleveland's not winning the Eastern Conference. Grow up.
I mean, that's
all so of
that's,
it. Grow up.
That, for those unaware, that's Emmett Golden, our guy in Cleveland, on the next level. And of course, you hear him all the time with Q Myers here on ESPN Radio.
Tim, it's Nuno. Nuno's all over me yesterday. It's not really going out on a limb. Wasn't trying to go out on a limb. Was very comfortable on the ground.
What's the point in going out on a limb when it comes to that? Like, you would just be stupid if you said, I'll get a tattoo if they beat the Magic. That would be stupid.
Like, imagine if I came in and we held our meeting and I said, hey, everybody, I'm going big today. I got a big proclamation. And everyone quiets down. And I go, here's what it is. The Cavs are not winning the Eastern Conference. You guys would laugh me out of the room. That wouldn't be a segment on radio. Now, to Emmett's point, I love the fact that he's offering that opportunity. Would absolutely. I'd have to go to Cleveland, right? Appear on the show, get the bunch. Yeah. He can get a first row, front row look at my left butt cheek, and he can help himself. With the eyes, keep your hands to yourself.
What does the Joe Fortenbaugh rider for a trip to Cleveland look like?
Oh, I'd be happy to go. I like Emmett. And in Cleveland, I haven't spent a lot of time in Cleveland.
Yeah.
I would like to spend some more time there and get to know that city a little bit. Die hard sports city, great people. Joe Fortenbaugh, standard first class, 4-star hotel. You know, the standard. You don't have to go above and beyond for Joe Fortenbaugh.
No, above and beyond, absolutely not. I mean, there is a bar that's been set, and it's right around the Ritz-Carlton level.
Yeah, I'd imagine you have a Michelin-starred restaurant somewhere. I don't need 3 Michelin stars, but I mean, at least 1 Michelin star would be nice for your boy.
Yeah.
Michael Simon from Food Network, Cleveland guy, has some really good restaurants in Cleveland.
See, there you go.
Yeah.
Be all good to go.
I'm sure the place is a great time. I'd love to go. But again, I want to make it clear to everyone. It wasn't trying to go out on a limb to say that. That was not the point of the conversation. I was simply trying to drive home the fact that that mindset that the Cavaliers possess, where they told everybody, we don't really think we're that good. We're definitely not good enough to beat Philly. So we're going to go ahead and lose this game to the Hornets so we can draw Orlando. Like that right there, you're not going anywhere thinking like that. That's a lesson for all the kids out there too. Don't think like the Cavaliers. That's loser think. You should think like a winner.
The best part about this for me is at least just how personally offended you are by the mentality.
Yeah.
You really, because you read all of these mentality books about getting after it. And so for you, this is really hitting a chord.
I am a fan of people read and indulge in different things. Like my wife loves just watching these true horror crimes every night. And then she wonders why she can't sleep. And it's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure we know why you don't sleep well, but God forbid I say something about that. But I enjoy studying highly successful people, not just in sports. I study a lot of people in sports, but people who have been very successful in the finance world, in the corporate world, in the leadership world, whatever it may be, best-selling authors, people who make movies, anything. I like to know how those people go about their business. I want to study their process, and it always comes back to the same thing. These people are just like relentless with perfecting their craft. They don't let people get in their way. They're not weak-minded, right? Like you take Kobe Bryant, you take Tiger Woods, Tom Brady. Like, these are the ultimate competitors. And you'll find that in the finance world and everywhere else. Like, you'll find these people who are just absolutely ruthless with their approach and their desire to win and be successful. And they all have that in common. So when I see a team that's like, let's go ahead and lose to the Hornets so we don't have to play the Sixers. That way we'll get the Magic. That's going to get it done. Like, that's loser talk. No one wins a championship thinking like that ever.
See, I'm comfortable being average, and I am comfortable looking for the best way out of it. So I will absolutely take a dive if need be.
That's fair. That's fair.
Me.
You know who you are, and you're being honest, and I appreciate and applaud that.
It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We have plenty of discussions today around the NBA play-in victory last night for the Los Angeles Lakers. And we have both been of the opinion that that's nice. Good for you, Jack. Now it's going to be over relatively quickly. Earlier in the show, we had Danny Green on, ESPN NBA analyst and three-time NBA champion, who thinks, you know what? Lakers got a shot.
I think they do. I think it's a different year. They have more pieces, a deeper team, and Denver's not as deep as Denver last year. You know, Denver is the better team in my eyes. I do think the Lakers have a chance. I still think this game, the series can go to six, so we'll see. We'll see if, you know, Lakers exerted a lot of energy to get to this point. They may have run out of gas, but the pieces they have are very good. If D'Lo plays the way he played last night, Austin Reeves, Gabe Vincent, all those guys come up and do little things and have a shot.
Look, I'll say a couple of things about this. Number one, D'Angelo Russell was excellent last night. If you're counting on that to be a big difference maker in the series coming up against the Nuggets, you're asking a little too much, because you have to operate off of what the history is there. Number two, if we're being fair about it, LeBron looked absolutely gassed at the end of that game, and it's understandable considering he was guarding Williamson for a lot of it, but that just makes me think more and more, when you are facing a team like the Nuggets, even though guys like Bruce Brown are gone, Joe, they're still more than good enough and more than talented enough to take care of the Lakers, I think, in five at the absolute worst.
Yeah, you can lay 2.5 games at plus 145. A lot of math there, so I'll simplify it. You can bet the spread for the series. And yeah, there's a spread of -1.5 games, meaning you'd have to win 4-2 or 4-1 or a sweep in order to cover that 1.5 game spread. Or you can go with the alt, which is 2.5, meaning you'd have to win in a sweep or a gentleman's sweep, 4-1. So you cover the 2.5 games. And 4-1 or sweep, the 2.5 spread, that's plus 145. $100 bet returns 145 in profit. That's what I do. I know people say that this year, and you know, I respect Danny Green's opinion for sure. It has given me cause to pause a bit and dig into this. But you go back to last season, Denver's won 8 straight against the Lakers. 8 straight, playoffs and regular season. During that time, they're 6-2 against the spread. They're winning those games by 8 points per game. When we're talking about going in and beating Denver, yeah, if this were March Madness and it was a one-off, you can get hot, they can get cold, you can take them out. That happens. We saw that last night, right? The Warriors were ice cold. The Kings got hot. I think they knocked down 19 threes. That's how you do it in a one-off. But when you talk about a 7-game series and winning 4 games, that's a large sample. You can have opportunities to make mistakes and still rebound from them. You can go down 0-2 and bounce back and win 4 games. We've seen that sort of thing. The larger the sample, the more likely the better team, the cream of the crop, will rise to the top. And I don't see how the Lakers are going to find a way to win 4 out of 7 against Denver, especially when Denver has home court. Like, you're going to go into Denver and win a couple games there, win at least one? I don't see it. I think Denver jumps all over them.
This feels like Denver is just going to walk their way through this series. If the Lakers get one, good for them. I can't take all the people that said after last year's series, well, listen, they may have gotten swept, but they were in it every game. Stop. LeBron last night even talking about how they're going to be one possession games. Let's not get ahead of ourselves here. This is the defending NBA champion. This is the MVP in the league. This is still pretty much the same cast from a season ago. And if we're being fair about it, they were the 2 seed, Joe, and they didn't exactly put the foot down on the gas at any point to be the 1 seed. Over the last month and a half, they probably rounded a little bit more into form and flicked that switch.
I am going to throw one thing out here, and this is just a quick aside. If we are right and Denver walks through the Lakers, Greenberg is going to have a field day with the whole, I told you, should have lost that game to the Pelicans, should have avoided them. Greenberg has set himself up for a nice little win here.
You know what, though? We didn't play this yet, and we need to play this real quick. This is Darvin Ham last night, who was asked about this, who was asked not specifically about Greeny, but, quote, about some TV talk.
That was a report of what?
It was TV talking stuff. Was that maybe
saying what again?
It'd be better off if you guys lost this game to avoid them to play.
Insane asylum sources say.
It wasn't.
Okay.
It was just chatter.
Just someone that just got out of the insane asylum. Okay, I got you.
Okay.
Yeah, roll the dice.
Just release these people.
Yeah.
I take offense,
Mr. Reporter.
I take offense on behalf of Greeny for that. If you're all going to have that conversation, the reporter with the whole TV talk and this, we'll know it wasn't sources. Put the man's name out there.
Absolutely.
Mike Greenberg suggested it, and he made a damn good case, and we've all been talking about it. So what do you think? And if you think it's insane asylum talk, that's fine. We appreciate it. But put some damn respect on where that topic came from.
Absolutely. And you know what? Who would be the happiest about that? Mike Greenberg. He would be thrilled if they put his name on it.
By the way, this Mets situation is a complete
disaster. It's a
disaster.
Oh, my God.
I mean, Severino stinks.
Can we talk about this for a second? Today's day betting alert involved the Mets and Luis Severino. And so here's
betting alert.
What we did. We had Severino over 5.5 strikeouts against a Pirates team that is third in all of baseball with 183 strikeouts, and they have struck out 23 times in the first two games of this series. Today, the Pirates, all of a sudden, are one of these teams that can't do anything but put the bat on the ball. They haven't missed bats. Severino started the fourth inning here with 49 pitches, Joe, and he went out there, went 0-2, and then walked the batter. And then now, just a little ground ball. So we are sitting in the fourth inning here at 2 strikeouts when we need to get to 6 to win this wager.
Yeah, he got ahead 0-2 and threw 6 straight balls.
What are we doing? Like, it's not only we're not getting the strikeouts, I don't need you wasting pitches.
Well, just remember something. We bet something positive in regards to the Mets. Like, if it doesn't work
out. They had won 9-12.
Hold on. Mets have won 9-12. Watch out, everybody.
Lindor bobbled the ball at second, which could have been a double play, so you got an extra chance for a strikeout because of the incompetence of the Mets.
Oh, I should be so happy
Mets
about that.
Mets doing great, yeah.
Ground ball out.
The Mets have been playing hot potato all afternoon with the baseball.
By the way, I'm not overly impressed that you're winning by one run against the Pirates.
This is absurd.
Sid Breen's not walking through that door, okay?
Another ground ball out. What are we all of a sudden? Severino's turned into Greg Maddux. Come on. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. Our pain continues live in front of you in moments.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good!
Saved! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Carlin versus Joe. Pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
Little player prop action for the Philadelphia-Miami matchup tonight. Joel Embiid under 11.5 rebounds. It's all matchup based here. He's going up against Bam Adebayo. He's gone under this mark in 5 of his last 7 games against Adebayo. In the 2 where he did go over, he recorded exactly 12 rebounds both times. So it's not like there's a real high ceiling here. He doesn't surge past for 16 and 18 rebounds on some of these occasions. He really just gets over the threshold, and he doesn't do that very often. In that 7-game stretch we're talking about against Adebayo, he's averaging just 8.7 rebounds per game. And given the fact that he is still a bit dinged up and not exactly 100%, we'll lean into that as well. Joel Embiid under 11.5 rebounds.
Carlin versus Joe. Breaking news.
And in case you just joined us just a little while ago, Woj reporting that Zion Williamson will be out for Friday night's play-in game against the Sacramento Kings. He's got a hamstring strain and will be reevaluated in the coming weeks. So that certainly does not sound good for the New Orleans Pelicans. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Speaking of the play-in, ESPN doubleheader tonight. You've got Miami at Philadelphia, 7 p.m. on ESPN. And then later on, it is Atlanta-Chicago, 9:30 Eastern Time on ESPN. And also on ESPN Radio, coverage begins at 9 p.m. Joel Embiid tonight for the Sixers game listed as questionable. He did participate in a shoot-around. Nick Nurse said that Embiid practiced with the team and he expects him to play. I'd be very surprised if he did not play. And look, we have made such a big deal about the Sixers, about how the Knicks should have done a better job of avoiding having to play the 7th seed because we both expect it to be Philadelphia winning tonight with Embiid on the court. There's so much made about the Sixers and how they can be the real, true threat to the Boston Celtics in the East right now, and you finally get a chance to look at it tonight.
I'll believe it when I see it. I like them tonight to win this game. I'm not sure about covering the spread. It's a big number. It's a very big number. Now, Terry Rozier is not going to play for Miami, so that's a bit problematic. But you've got Tyler Hero, and I think Duncan Robinson's coming back for this game. I'd expect to see a little bit more Kevin Love tonight in this matchup. They're going to need to find a way to generate more offense, which is one of the reasons why we're betting the over in this game, but neither here nor there at the moment. I mean, here we go with Philadelphia, right? Like, we start the season and we talk about expectations and we talk about failure after failure after failure, how this team cannot get past the second round of the playoffs. But then Joel Embiid gets hurt and we just kind of realize, maybe it's not their year. And we check out and they slide down the standings and we forget about them. Right up until Embiid comes back, the team gets hot, secures the top play-in situation, and then a win tonight would get them the 7th seed and a matchup with the Knicks. And I start wondering to myself, are we supposed to buy back in? Are we supposed to once again believe, hey, maybe this year is different? After all, it's not Doc Rivers or Brett Brown. It is Nick Nurse, who has a track record of success in the postseason. Yeah. I know Rivers does too. That was like 2 decades ago. Let's get over that for the minute. He's dealing with his own problems in Milwaukee. I don't know, Carlin. I find it tough to buy back in because I feel like once I do, inevitably they're going to have that matchup where they just come up short like they do every single year.
I get it. But you know what this feels like to me from you? It feels like scars that are affecting your view of this situation.
Fair.
And I get that. And as you often point out, just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen. So I would point to two things that would give me a little bit more confidence in the Sixers right now. Number one, you mentioned Nick Nurse. I mean, Nick Nurse is a really good coach, and you get a chance to see what kind of a difference he can make here in the postseason. Number two would be Tyrese Maxey and the considerable elevation in his game this year. Would you call it fair to say that?
Oh, hell yeah. Maxey's been great. Maxey getting named most improved player.
Yeah.
Joe Fortenbaugh's buying dinner for everybody.
Exactly. And I would say that with those two things, maybe this is different. Because we have seen before, and I'm not saying that this is going to be the difference, okay? But you and I have both seen very talented teams that hit a ceiling, and it was because they needed to change something, whether it's the coach or a key cog. And in this case, I think it was the coach. And I think we're about to see that.
Mm. Okay.
You're not buying in yet, but am I wrong to say for you that it's the scars that are probably speaking more than anything else?
Yeah, without question. Without question. That, the fact that, you know, there are elements where other teams were just better, and then there are elements where opportunities were presented for them, and they crapped in their pants. Like, Boston last year didn't run away with those games late. Philadelphia had every opportunity to win that series, and they were much worse than Boston. Boston didn't win that series last year. If you go back and look at Game 6 and 7, they didn't win that series. Philadelphia went out and lost it. I think at the end of Game 6, Philadelphia went scoreless for like the final 4 minutes of that game, if memory serves me correctly. And then in the big spots, like, Harden's nowhere to be found. Joel Embiid was nowhere to be found. And then people counter with, well, Harden was really big in game one. Great. It's not a one-game series. You're supposed to be one of the game's elite players. You got to be great in almost all of them. That's what it calls for when you're trying to win a championship. You don't get to play great one night, play awful the next night, and then wonder why people don't want to usher you right in the Hall of Fame and talk about you as one of the all-time greats. The greats have to show up every night. It's just what's required of great players. Bench players are the ones that can go MIA on the road. That's part of the big handicap. Bench players always play better at home than they do on the road because they don't have to worry about being overwhelmed by the crowd noise. The one thing I liked about this team coming into this season was that with Harden gone and Rivers gone, the distractions were gone. It seemed like a team that you could just go about their business. And that's exactly what they did early in the year, right up until the injury. They were drama-free. And they're still drama-free. The injury was just an injury. But I don't know. It's like, I want to get back on board. The Flyers completely flamed out at the end of the season, so there's no hockey in Philadelphia this year. So this is all I got.
Top half of the fifth inning in New York at Citi Field. Mets right now against the Pirates, 2-1 lead. That doesn't matter. What matters is that Luis Severino has got 3 strikeouts, and we have got him on the over at 5.5. Currently, Severino, his pitches are in the 60s. And, you know, right now they're not even focused on it. I got to watch Gary, Keith, and Ron, you know, getting some food delivered in the... Yeah, in the.
Those burgers look good.
They do look good.
They look really good. There's some really good...
You know, I got to say...
Mets baseball, everybody. Yep. Complete with a bacon burger.
Yep. Here's what we got. We're focusing on the important things. Here's what we got at the stadium. Although I will say, I am somebody that has come around on the idea of the pretzel bun.
Oh, I love the pretzel bun.
Yeah. And man's big on the pretzel bun,
big
huh?
on the pretzel yeah. bun.
What is it about it that gets you so excited?
I mean, this is going to sound so straightforward, but the texture similar to a pretzel.
Yeah.
Appreciate the straightforwardness of the answer.
I'll be fair. At first, I thought pretzel bun on a burger, probably going to be too much work. It's a lot of chewing.
Yeah.
A lot of chewing. And I got to tell you, couldn't have been more wrong.
We got to minimize the chewing, maximize the swallowing. We got to get a lot more efficient.
No, again, I just...
Get as many calories down there as fast as possible.
No, we're not just shoving it all down my gullet at record speeds.
It sounds like you were a bit upset that the burger might not go down as fast as you would like.
No, I don't want my jaw to be sore as if my hamstrings would be if I had just worked out.
No, I don't think anyone's worried about you hurting your hamstrings working out.
It's
not
happened.
On today's bingo card.
Why the Cowboys' definition of all in may not be the same as ours. God, those do look good. And yeah, I haven't had lunch yet.
They really do.
Woo, that's next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Leaves us scratching our heads, and it's usually Jerry Jones.
I have to believe 1 and 1 is 3. I can't operate where 1 and 1 is 2.
This is Jerry's world, and we're just living in it.
Yeah, I'll get to that in a second. Severino's got 7 groundouts today. 7.
That two-seamer's working nicely for him.
Yeah, that's great. Pirates, all they do is strike out. Not today. Not today. Yeah, we're all about small ball, Captain Contact. Stop it. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. If you couldn't tell, we have the over on Luis Severino's strikeouts, which we are not looking great on right now. He's right around 80 pitches with just 3 strikeouts on the day as they play in the bottom of the 5th inning at Citi Field. Hopefully we can put something together here so my red-hot streak would continue, but we're not looking great.
If it doesn't work, it's all right. You hit 3 in a row, you lose one here, we shake it off, we move on. It's okay. You've been doing very well with this.
I appreciate the support. I choose to focus on the losses and to let them stew.
Yeah, of course. So do I. I mean, can't name a single win I've had in the last 3 months, but I'll tell you all about that Warrior beat last night.
They fester. When you're trying to find quality candidates, all the searching, screening, and interviewing can become a job itself. You need Indeed, the all-in-one platform that makes it easy to interview, screen, and hire quality people. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Well, you heard it, Jerry's world, but today we get to hear from his offspring. He is the man that will eventually take over everything, and he is Stephen Jones. On 105.3, The Fan.
Incredible way to set that up, by the way.
Thank you.
We're going to hear from his offspring.
Yes. From his...
Is that where you were intending to go when you started the whole thing? Or did you get yourself a little jammed up there?
We're going to come up with a fancier word. No, I didn't really get jammed up there. Listen, why you got to question everything that comes out on this end of the mic? Everything.
That one was
get off
worthy,
my back.
That one was worthy of questioning.
Offspring?
I like it. I think it works. I was just, I'm curious about the process. What led you to that? Was it planned, or did you find yourself in a situation where you thought you were going to be talking about Jerry, realize you're supposed to be talking about Steven,
No.
Needed to transition in an awkward fashion?
No, I would absolutely tell you that if that was the case. When have I ever not been willing to own up to just sounding like a moron?
That is true. There's never been a time where you've like definitively dug in and been like, hey guys, that's not at all what I meant, okay?
Yeah. You're really misrepresenting me. I'm not that stupid.
You immediately are like, that's exactly what happened. You guys got it. I screwed it up. Hand up. That's on me.
Yes. Instead, today though, we hear from the scion of Jerry. It is Stephen Jones on the familiar theme of the offseason being all in.
Everybody can have their own definition of what that means, but I've never not known us to be all in, nor have I known anybody we compete against not to be all in. Doesn't mean it happens overnight, but when you're wanting to sign players like Dak and Micah and CD, then, that certainly you have to hold money back if you want to have a realistic chance at signing those guys.
What does that mean? Hold money back. You're not holding anything back. You've got $7 million to work with right now to sign your draft picks. And if you had gotten deals done, that would have given you the opportunity to have more money to work with.
So many words. It's always so many words with them. Is any of it ever planned out? Like the all-in thing was like, oh yeah, you know, we just have a different definition of all-in. And then they explain it. It's like, good God, man. Like why? How did we get caught up in this for 3 weeks? And now it's this thing. Yeah, we got great players. You know, we're all the way in. We just got to hold money back. What money are you holding back? Like you just brought up the point that they don't have much with the salary cap. Like if you want to hold, it's not about holding money back and saving for a rainy day. It's about paying these guys before they hit peak market value so that you have additional money to spend on other players. Holding back, like are we saving for a Disney World trip here?
It's unreal. It is unreal. But this is, as you have said, another one of those teams that at the beginning of the year, you can just toss out and rule out. Toss aside,
yeah.
Completely rule them out. They're minimum, not going to be a factor.
Minimum 20 teams before every season. You can just throw them in the pay no mind pile. You pay no attention to them whatsoever. They're not competing for championships. This is another example. Let me ask you this. Let's really dive into what he's asking. We got to hold money back. What does that mean when we're talking about a salary cap?
All that means is like he's talking about signing them next year. But the bigger question is, why wouldn't you take advantage of the cap this year? Why wouldn't you, I don't know, get ahead of the market on a guy like CD Lamb, like the Eagles did with Devontae Smith the other day, before it's going to cost you a lot more when the market is already set? And that money that you're holding back for next year turns out not going to be enough anyway.
Yeah, it's not a matter of cash. Like, we're not talking about cash where
it's
you
not,
need
we're
to...
Gonna, we're going to be short 50 mil and paying everybody.
Right, we got to save some cash living, this year. Because
we're living
year, like,
paycheck to paycheck over here.
All the cash is there. It's a salary cap. There is no holding back. Have you ever studied what the Rams and Saints do? Have you ever seen the Saints? The Saints have a shotgun filled with money that they just spray everywhere all over the place. There's no regard for holding anything back. And
it's
sure,
like one of those T-shirt cannons.
Yeah, they're just firing money everywhere. Like, that was the entire Rams philosophy to win a Super Bowl. You know, the famous expletive them picks and expletive this cash and his salary cap. We don't care. We're going for it. That's what all in is. The Cowboys are talking, like, what the hell is we're all in followed by we got to hold cash back? Those are two diametrically opposed statements. Do you realize that? That's pushing all your chips. Like, imagine you have $1 million in chips at the poker table and you shove 900,000 into the center and go, I'm all in. And they're all going to look at you and go, what about that other 100,000? Well, no, I got to hold this back in case I lose. So you're not all in. No. I'm all in. Dallas Cowboys are all in. I just got to hold this back in case I lose. Everyone at the table would be like, get this guy the hell out of here.
Try saying that at the table and see if they'll let you hold 100 grand back.
We're all in. We just got to hold some cash back. So you're partially in. No, we're all in. So then why are you holding money back? Because we got to hold money back for these guys. So you're not all in. No, we said we're all in. Yeah, we get it. We know what you're saying. I don't think you know what you're saying.
Wow.
And this is why you don't win. Because how can you possibly win a football game when you get caught up in all this?
You can't. Because, again, you know what I want to know, too? The PR plan around this. You know what?
There is none. Do the Cowboys even have
a PR
department?
Oh, I think they do. I think they had a bit of a shakeup a few years back, if you'll remember. But that's not important to get into.
You don't say.
But having said that, listen, here's the plan. Every week, just one of us goes out there, whether it's McCarthy, Jerry, Steven, whoever. One of us goes out there every week. Just say we're all in. They'll get the message, and they'll buy it. Please.
I mean, we're hearing you. We just, here's the thing, and this is the part that we can't get through to these guys. We just don't understand you. We're hearing you. We hear the words. Like, I think that that's the part that's getting lost in translation. They think we're not hearing them. We are hearing you. We don't understand what you're talking about.
All right, we got our fourth strikeout a second ago from Severino, but shortly thereafter, a one-pitch groundout. I mean, we're going to have to hope for a seventh inning here. We need, what we need is another strikeout, and we need for Carlos Mendoza to say, you know what, let's stretch this out a little bit more.
Or how about a strikeout pass ball, the guy reaches base, and then another strikeout?
It's a huge ask. We're really
a big ask, though.
Now
I'm trying to be realistic.
It's less of
now
an
we're
ask.
Gambling.
It's a less of an ask than another inning out of Severino.
What's he at? How many pitches is
92.
He at?
92.
Oh, this feels no like chance. It. It's good work. He's given up one run. I mean, this is, yeah. We need a freak. We need the 4-out inning. That's what we're reduced to, everyone. We need the old 4-out inning.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. One NBA player's career is over. And it's not because he retired. That's next. ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Carlin versus Joe. Pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
Bit of a deep dive here for the Hawks-Bulls matchup, but hang with me, you might like it. It's a player prop. Garrison Matthews of the Atlanta Hawks over 4.5 points. That's it. We need 5 points from Garrison Matthews. It is juiced to minus 140. It all comes down to the matchup here. He's a three-point shooter. He's actually having a career year from deep. He's knocking down 44% of his shots. Catch and shoot type guy. That's important because Chicago allows more three-point attempts than any team in the NBA. They give up 39 three-point attempts per game. Atlanta loves to let it rip from deep, so this is a game tailor-made for Matthews. He's not going to play 40 minutes, so don't panic if you don't see him on the court, but we really only need him to knock down a couple three-pointers, and we should be fine. On April 4th against Chicago, he took 7 of them, made 3, went over. That's what we're hoping for tonight. Garrison Matthews over 4.5 points in Atlanta's matchup with Chicago.
Well, Joseph, that matchup is right here on ESPN Radio. The NBA playoffs are, of course. It is play-in action tonight. Bulls hosting the Hawks, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins 9 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations and on Sirius XM Channel 80.
Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio.
Joe Alt. I mean, the most obvious nickname of all time for an offensive lineman. He would be erasing defensive linemen from their pass rush. He would be Joe Control Alt Delete. What do we think? We don't like it?
What about just Joe Alt Delete? Cut it down a little bit.
And isn't it common form to say Control Alt Delete? Joe Alt Control Delete. You know, it feels...
Who was saying that?
I don't know. Me. Just
why would we change the order of the word?
Because the guy's last name is Alt.
Yeah,
so I want that to be the first thing after Joe.
Control Alt Delete.
Control's not part of his name.
Part of the nickname. Are you new here? Is this too much for you? It feels like this is too much for you. We pitched something and then Evan chimed in and tried to find a way to make it better. You are just dragging it back down into the swamp. That's all you're doing. Joe Control Alt Delete. How about if it's Joe Alt Control Joe Alt? How does that sound, everybody?
Well, let's be clear. I think Evan's offering in that discussion was the best one. Joe Alt Delete. You know, because you can hit Alt and Delete together. So, you know, maybe you weren't so perfect on that after all.
It flows Justin. Nicely. It flows nicely. Here's what happened in that conversation. I pitched an idea. Evan jumped in and improved upon that idea. You, all you did, muck it up, make it take longer, make it more unclear. That was your role. You are our bureaucracy. That's what you are. You're a bureaucrat, just getting in the way, taking your fee, slowing everything down. Evan and I are private industry.
I am your version of City Hall. You're trying to get a permit to get something done.
Okay,
and
everybody.
I am holding up that process.
Okay, everybody. Let's just slow this down. You can get an appointment 6 months from today.
Yep.
You're going to need to bring 8 forms of identification. It's like, we don't even need you. You get out of the way.
And when you do, you come back, there will be a sign on the glass door that says, back in 20 minutes, and you'll be able to see me eating a ham sandwich on the other side with my feet up. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. Sirius XM Channel 80, the bigger news today.
Hold on one sec. Wilner, what did you have? He's like chomping.
No. Chris Berman going to join us too. We're going to get the official approval of Joe Alt, the lead from Chris Berman on Monday.
Excellent.
He's going to join the show. We're going to pitch this to him and see if maybe this will end up on primetime.
He'll probably come up with something even better.
I mean, listen, this was the guy's wheelhouse for 30 years. I mean, you don't flip that switch off. That's not happening.
No, that's the genius. I'm excited to see the genius at work.
Yeah.
So that when he actually comes up with something, I sit there and go, yep, that's where we should have been. We're idiots. Thank you, Boom.
Yep. That's exactly how that's going to go. Two bits of news today. Number one, Zion Williamson is out for Friday night's play-in game for the Pelicans when they host the Sacramento Kings. It's a hamstring injury, and the hamstring, according to Woj, who broke the story just a little while ago, will be reevaluated, quote, in the coming weeks. So that is not the best of signs, even if the Pelicans should advance. And having said that, already the Kings minus 1.5 point favorites after that news in that game on the road in New Orleans. Number two, Jonte Porter. You'll remember him from a few weeks ago. He was suspended by the NBA indefinitely for the investigation of his role in gambling and gambling on games. Well, the league today banned him permanently because, Joe, they found a couple of things. They found, number one, that he had shared some information regarding his health with a known NBA bettor who then in turn, before the March 20th game, put down an $80,000 parlay on the unders for Jonte Porter that was going to pay out $1.1 million. No way that's going to be a red flag for
nothing
any sort of gambling company.
Nothing suspicious at all there. $80,000 parlay on a bunch of unders for an unknown player. Happens all the time.
And then he has, according to the NBA, because they put out their statement, also gambled on his team to lose. At one point when he was traveling with the Raptors and also shuttling back and forth with the G League, he bet a couple of parlays that included the Raptors losing. He actually lost the bets, but still bet on his own team losing.
Well,
through a mutual friend, didn't do it in his own name.
Great work by the league coming out, getting to the bottom of this quickly. They didn't drag this out over the course of a year, 2 years. They didn't try to sweep it under the rug. They got to work. They figured it out as fast as they could, and they brought down the hammer. Lifetime ban, as it should be. Danny Green was on earlier. You know, he said it's tough to see a guy lose a dream like this, and he speaks from a position of sympathy there, and I think we can all sympathize a little bit. You look at it, and you're like, that is a harsh blow, but it is a necessary blow. You have to get the message across to these guys. You can't gamble. You can't gamble on this stuff. And you know what? That might kind of suck, but like, it's part of the gig. Every gig, no matter where you are, anywhere on the planet, there are certain things you can do and can't do. It's just the nature of the business, right? In the NBA, you can't gamble on the NBA. If you really need to gamble on the NBA, don't play in the NBA. Well, you know, I want to play in the NBA. Okay, great. Then you can't gamble on it. All right? You will be fine. But the rise and the proliferation of sports betting in this country leads to things like this being exposed. Because I'll tell you what, all right? The books see what kind of action comes in on a player like this night in, night out. And then when all of a sudden it's that action times 15,000, it's going to raise a red flag.
And the thing that I think gets under considered is that the proliferation of this legally has made it more likely that you're going to catch it.
Yeah.
When it happens.
100%.
And that is something that people don't consider when they say things like, well, you're just going to see more and more of this. Actually, you're not. Not when the league bans a guy for life, and not when it's picked up as easily as it was. Mets have added insurance runs, so I'm hoping maybe we give a little leeway here.
Let's rest
to
the
Mr.
bullpen.
Severino.
Let's rest the bullpen today. Send Luis out there. He's going to have a few days off coming up.
Let's give Severino an opportunity here at only 95 pitches. You know what? This is not the first week of the season. Let's see him back out there. Okay?
It's hope for the best.
Thanks for listening to the Carlin vs. Joe podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Carlin vs. Joe weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also watch and listen on the ESPN app. The Carlin vs. Joe podcast.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.